It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Yes, morena Desley.
Morena to you. How are you today?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, real good.
Oh, look, really great. Lots happening in our great city. We have the Aotea Art Fair opening today, which for art lovers out there are 65 galleries from 25 countries and more than 200 works of art on display down at the Viaduct Event Centre until Sunday, so that's super.
Cool.
And then tomorrow we start the New Zealand International Comedy Festival, and let's face it, we all need a laugh, right?
Yep.
So that's super exciting, 200 comedians making people laugh until from the 1st to the end of May. And then on Saturday we have the New Zealand Skateboard Champs here in Auckland. So.
Oh, wow.
I'm opening that, so that's got to be super exciting. And if events aren't your thing, one little thing that I thought was really special, we have seen sightings of kaka returning to central Auckland. Now, kaka is kind of like a large parrot.
Mm.
That's probably not the most complimentary term, but it's a bird unique to New Zealand, and it's traditionally been based on the likes of Tiruchiti, Matangi, Aotea, Great Barrier and whatever, and Waitaka Ranges, to be fair. But they found it in central Auckland, in Epsom, Greylin and Point Chev. And that's just a real shout-out to our volunteers and people who get out there and look after pest-free Auckland and habitat restoration, stuff like that, you know, places like... Urban Arc, Pest Free Kaipatiki, Waitaki Re-Rangers Alliance, Eastern Bays, Songbirds, you know, so that's really cool. So, good time in the city.
Lots of exciting stuff on the horizon. So you're opening up the skateboarding competitions. Are you going to get on the board and do a kickflip?
Yeah, you're going to give it a go?
Well, you know, I have, to be honest. I've got a grandson that's kind of right into skateboarding, right?
Okay,
and,
nice.
At the risk of thinking I was going to break my neck or my back or everything in between, I've had a few goes. He's... we have a driveway that he builds ramps on and has a kilometer. So I've given it a bit of go, but I think at the national champs, I might just watch.
Yeah, leave it to the professionals, eh?
Okay, all right.
The professionals, right? There's a line.
Couple more months on that driveway, you'll be fine. You'll be in fighting shape.
That's right. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, for sure.
I was dancing with robots the other day. Good gracious me. So day in the life of the deputy mayor is never boring.
Good stuff. A couple of things we want to talk about today. I thought maybe we could start with a little bit about these underground boarding houses, which are quite concerning and sort of, we heard quite a lot about them last year because the council did a bit of a report into some of these sort of 5-6 bedroom houses or properties that had been turned into boarding houses, sleeping far more people than is safe, and the council called on the government to sort of intervene and help out last year. Has anything changed since then, or are we still dealing with the same issue?
No, look, there's bad news and good news on this one. Look, the bad news was the issue that you've identified, which was primarily about building safety, right? So when a property is occupied by a family group or, you know, like a flatmates or whatever, everyone looks after each other. But when it's split up to accommodate larger individual people, you've got things like increased fire risk, and you need additional things like smoke detectors, marked fire exits, etc. And landlords can sometimes sacrifice safety over commercial gain. Okay, so that was the problem. The good news is, yes, we contacted the government a number of times, and last night, ta-da, hot off the press, the Residential Tenancies Registration of Boarding House Landlords Amendment Bill, which is a very long name for a bill that is seeking to close the loophole in the problem, basically, was unanimously supported by all political parties. So that went through last night. So it's really super, super exciting. That means that hopefully now we will... that will require the ministry to create and maintain a register of boarding houses and boarding house landlords to kind of better monitor compliance with the residential tenancy laws. Look, if the government hadn't done that, we kind of had a plan B. We were going to sort of pass a bylaw ourselves, but we don't have to now. The government did it last night, and kind of we're really happy about that.
Wow, good news.
That is good news. So the loophole was sort of the ability for landlords to construct a sort of single head tenant in a way that, that gives a different idea as to how many people are actually living in the space, and means that they can sidestep some of the rules about smoke alarms and fire evacuation routes, etc. So how will this change that in particular?
Well, if we've got the register of boarding houses and boarding house landlords, we can get on to that compliance side, right? So the, but one of the biggest problems was that we kind of didn't know. These were probably not a very good official term, but they were sort of going a bit under the radar or underground because we didn't know. I mean, our job is to do inspections, right? But if you don't know where to inspect, you can't do the inspection, right? Mm. But if there is a compulsory registration around that, that will make it much harder for us. Mm-hmm. It's just been a little loophole that I think has been closed. If you have that registration, then you'll be able to go and find and make sure the sites are actually compliant. I mean, we want all people to be safe. Health and safety is obviously really important, but it's having that list, and this actually helps. Mm-hmm. Helps make sure that is a compulsory compulsory thing that we have to follow, that we can have that once we've got the list, then we can go and do the compliance checkup.
Yeah. If we were to think about
register. Yeah.
Yeah. If we were to think about the illegal boarding houses themselves and sort of who's being disadvantaged by this and who's being targeted, we're seeing the people that are coming through and having to stay in these environments are often beneficiaries, former prisoners, people that are doing it really tough. Is this symptomatic of the fact that, our rents are too high in Auckland, people can't afford other options, and we don't have enough support for these people?
Look, I think that the fact is that these people have a place to go. That's the good news, right? The bad news is the people who own these properties aren't looking after them properly as they should.
It doesn't really qualify as a place for them to go, though, does it? It's a subpar living conditions.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people. Depends on the place. It depends on the place.
And if these people are turning towards these options as opposed to support that the council or central government is providing for them, that's got to be, signifying that there's a serious issue here in terms of what we've got available in terms of welfare.
That's a whole nother story on, we work with agencies such as tenancy services, FENS, environmental health, places, things like that. But there are people who choose to live in boarding houses. What council as a regulatory authority needs to do is to make sure when people do have a place in a boarding house that that place meets health and safety requirements, the Building Act, and has, FENS approved evacuation plans, and the health and safety conditions. I mean, we had that terrible fire story, right? Mm. We just need to make sure that the accommodation itself meets the right statutory requirements.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
To do that, you have to have a list of where they are. And the problem has been that we haven't always known that landlords or owners of large properties have turned what was a 5-6-bedroom large home into 5-6 single occupancy dwellings.
Mm. And yes, for sure. And, this is a really positive step in terms of holding those landlords accountable and shutting down any of those illegal boarding houses that break the rules. What sort of systems are set in place to support people that are staying in these illegal boarding houses that then get shut down? Where are we going to direct those people that need places to go?
I think that's where you work with social services, etc. There are a number of agencies that work in Auckland to help people find places to stay and to live. Look, are there enough? Probably not. But there are a number of agencies that are working really hard across the motu trying to find, places for people to live, whether they are individuals or...
Yeah. If there aren't enough, is it in the plan, alongside this change in legislation, is it in the plan for the council to prepare for, greater support needed for these people?
We've always advocated for support. I mean, we work with, City Mission and places like that. But the specific issue that was being dealt with in the residential tenancies registration of Boarding House Landlords Amendment Bill, which I spoke to you about, which is a really long name, is to actually make changes to that act so that we can create and maintain a register of boarding houses and boarding house landlords to better monitor compliance with resident tenancy laws. You know, that's about making sure these people abide by the law, so when they do have people living in their homes that they own and manage, that they are done safely.
Mm-hmm. Just quickly before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about illegal dumping. The Auckland Council mm-hmm. has received more than 24,000 reports of illegal dumping across the city. That is a crazy figure.
Yeah.
That is a crazy figure.
Why is it so high?
Well, I mean, there are, fortunately, it's plateaued. It had been coming up. It had been, you know, the number had been rising for a number of years, but it seems to have plateaued, I think, in from 2025 stats. Look, no one likes illegal dumping, right? And I think, you know, thank you for asking me about this, because I think a lot of it is really about what do you do with stuff you want to get rid of? And there's two types. There's the residential stuff and there's the commercial stuff. So we have across Auckland an annual inorganic collection. It's rates funded and it's free for you to book, all right? Mm-hmm. You can book online on the council website, you can book in person at your local library, or you can, you know, phone the famous 09301 0101, which is our main line. You can also talk to a lot of agencies who will pick up your stuff for free. You know, little known fact, I had a bit of a dark time in my life and I was renting and ordering. People gave me a lot of stuff in the home. I was a solo mum and it was tough. And I was there for a couple of years. But when I went to leave, I remember calling up the Salvation Army and they came with their big truck. They basically put in the lounge suite and everything, all these things that people hadn't wanted but I'd used for a couple of years. And they took them away and repurposed them to somebody else. So we have... you know, wonderful services, the City Mission, SPCA, Op Shops, Red Cross, Vinnie's, you know, many will pick up for free. Then, of course, you've got the commercial organisations that will do it, you know, registered operators like Junk2Go, I think they're based in Papatoa, you know, they will pick up and reuse or recycle where possible. I think the key is a lot of people just don't know where to put their stuff.
Yeah.
And so the more that we can talk about agencies that pick it up, I mean, one of the a place that I know and support really well, Woven Earth, puts together, you know, house lots for people as a result of domestic violence. I mean, I was speaking to them the other day. They're desperately in need of beds. So, you know, there are a number of agencies that do pick up your stuff. Commercially, though, we get really cross when commercial operators dump paint tins and stuff like that. 30 to 45% of the stuff that's dumped, and then we can identify kind of almost where it comes from and the people pick up and then get rid of it. But yeah, absolutely, it's a good time in election year to advocate for more kind of national product stewardship schemes. Like there's a place, there's an outfit called Tyrewise, and this is an example of a New Zealand-wide scheme that, you know, we bring in like something like 6.5 million tyres, can you believe it?
Mm.
And they have a scheme where you can take up to 5 tyres to get rid of your tyres at Waitakere for free. And then you won't believe it. They turn these tyres into a substitute for coal and cement making. It's amazing.
So do you have a ballpark figure on how much illegal dumping costs the council?
Yeah, it's about, I think it's about just over $3 million a year. Right,
wow.
Because we do, if you see illegal dumping, we've got, remember I talked to you about the app last time we spoke?
Yes.
That is one of the 5, I can't call it an app, AI tools, works like an app. One of the 5 things we've got that we can report illegal dumping, and of course there's 0800 number that we have as well for people to call when they see illegal dumping. So we go and pick it up.
Yeah.
But and that does cost. I mean, and that's $3 million that we can't spend on sports fields or playgrounds or stuff like that. So a lot of what we're trying to do around that as a council is to run education campaigns so people know where and how to dispose of their rubbish correctly and responsibly. No one likes it. Local boards are doing some fantastic things, I think, and Waiheke, the local board over there, is really doing a big push around their commercial operators to make sure that they get rid of their waste responsibly. But look, it is a problem for our city, and the more that we can talk about how Aucklanders can get rid of their rubbish more responsibly is great, because we don't want it dumped in our playgrounds and on the side of the road and in places where it's kind of unsafe to leave it and ugly and awful.
Mm-hmm. Just in the instance of commercial dumping, when bigger companies are getting rid of their waste illegally, is that ratepayers that are paying for that as a result?
Yes. If we do it in two ways. So if we can identify the waste, right, or the dumped stuff, and often we can. I think something like 30-40% of illegal dumping can be identified as from the source, right? Mm-hmm. And we do fine. And so we've got, you know, everything from warnings or infringement notices to prosecution of, you know, of cases, and fines can then go from up to court penalties can go up to sort of $30,000. So we do fine. So if we can identify where it came from and know who is responsible, we do something about it.
Mm. I think that's just about all we've got time for, which is a real shame because I'm really enjoying this corridor. If people want to learn more about how they can report illegal dumping or how they can dispose of their waste responsibly and legally, where should they go?
Well, we've got it all on our council website, and as I said, the reporting on the on the AI tool is there for reporting. But more importantly, I really want people to go and have a look at Auckland Council, and then the website is aucklandcouncil.govt.nz/where-it-goes, which is pretty obvious. But if you just Google where do I send my stuff on Auckland Council, it should come up, because there's transfer stations, community recycling. But more importantly, as I said, please just think of the agencies that might want what you don't want. One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? And we should be always looking to repurpose our stuff as much as possible.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Desley. Always a pleasure to have a corridor with you.
No worries. Ka kite. Have a great day.
Ka kite.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.